February 18th. Dal Adha. Okay. Tonight's already Hey. Okay. We're on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin. And tonight we're going to do the Maisa on the bottom of the Amud of Achav ben Kolia and Tzidkiah ben Maaseah. So,
that's fine. It's like the greatest pickup line ever.
Okay. So the Maisa here, it's a fascinating Maisa that the Pasuk says, Kayamar Hashem Tzvakos Elchisol El Achav Ben Kaliyah Vel Tzidkiyah Ben Maaseah Nevi'im Hanibim Lachem Bishmi Lashaker, that they have been Nevi'ei Sheker, and then it says that they were burnt to a crisp. Asher Kalam Melech Bavel, burnt to a crisp. So the Gemara says, what happened? And the Gemara tells you the whole Maisa, fascinating Maisa, that they did an Avala be Yisrael, and each one, they went to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar independently, and Achav told her that Kamar Hashem, that she should live with Tzidkiyah, and Tzidkiyah told her Kamar Hashem, you should live with Achav. So she went to her father and she told him, and Nebuchadnezzar said it doesn't make sense because Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't go for that kind of behavior. So he told her, next time they come to you, send them to me. So they did. So Nebuchadnezzar said to them, let's see the language over here.
Bodek.
Well, before they said, Man Amar Lachain, who told you that to do this? So they said it was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, but Hanani Mishal Azariah, I asked them, and they told me this is Aser. So they said, well, they're Nevi'im and we're Nevi'im. So Hashem told us, he didn't tell them that it's okay. So he said to them, well, I know that they're Nevi'im, I know that they're Tzadikim, because they lived through the Kivshan Ha'esh, which we mentioned before, so now I want to check you as well. So they said, well, it's not going to work, because they were three Tzadikim, we are only two, and therefore we won't survive. It won't be a good test. So he said to them, okay, so choose a third person to go in with you. So they chose Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, thinking that his chus will protect them. So he took Yehoshua Kohen Gadol and the two of them and threw them in the fire. They got burned to a crisp, and Yehoshua came out alive, but his clothes were singed. So Nebuchadnezzar said to him, I understand that you're a tzaddik, so you survived, but why were your clothes singed if, after all, Hanani Mishal Azariah, they came out without any problem at all? So how come with you your clothes are singed? So he said, because they were three and I'm only one. And that's why, so he used the same logic they used, that I'm only one person, so therefore the fire did affect me a little bit. So he said to him, yeah, but what about Avram Avinu? Or Avram Avichem? And Avram, he came out without any problem, and he was only one. So Yehoshua Kohen Gadol said, that's because Avraham was not with any Rishayim, and I was with Rishayim. So therefore the fire did have some effect, and it was able to burn me. So then the Gemara says, so that dead satisfied Nebuchadnezzar. So then the Gemara says, but Lamaisa Maitamei Anesh, why was he punished? Rashi learns the Gemara is asking that really it's not true. His answer was not really a true answer to Nebuchadnezzar. That was just a way of pushing off Nebuchadnezzar. But what's the real answer? That's what Rashi learns. The Marsha says that, no, their answer was the real answer, but then it still begs the question, what did Yehoshua do that he deserved to be thrown into a fire with two Rishayim so that his clothes would be singed? And then and the Gemara says, because his sons were married to women who were not royal kahuna. They weren't Haganas Lekuhuna. And he did not, and that wasn't the reason, that wouldn't be enough to punish him, but because he wasn't Mecha Bahem, he didn't protest, and that's why he got singed. End of story. So it's a fascinating story, but obviously there's a lot going on over here. So, first of all, we have to understand Bechlal, what the Inyan is of a Kivshan Ha'esh. We know Avraham Avinu was thrown into a Kivshan Ha'esh. Many Rishonim learned that was the first of his Nisyanos, of his Zasar Nisyanos, was standing up to Nimrod and being thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh. and he lived through it. We know at that time that his brother Haran, Lot and Sarah Imenu's father, also said that he was with Avraham Avinu. He was thrown into the fire and he got burnt to a crisp. Then we have the mice over here, first with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, getting thrown into the Kibshan HaEsh. They come out alive with no problem. And then we have Yehoshua Kohen Gadol getting thrown into the Kibshan HaEsh, along with two Rishayim, Achav and Tzidkiah. You understand this is not the same Achav as the Achav HaMelech, Melech Yisrael. This is much later than that. Who were Nevi'ei Sheker, that they got burnt up, but he survived. So, Daniel wasn't thrown into a Kibshan HaEsh. He was thrown into lions. That's a later story. So, we have to understand what is the meaning of a Kibshan HaEsh. The Chlal, what's in a Kibshan HaEsh. And then this whole business, the whole Shachla Tarya here is just fascinating. How foolish can you be? I mean, Achav and Tzidkiah, what is the Pshat with Achav and Tzidkiah? They were just fools?
What do you mean?
That they tried to live with the king's daughter. Why start up with the king's daughter? If you're going to try to convince someone to live with each other, you're going to go. Each of you are going to make it. They're going to make a deal that, look, we'll get her to live with both of us, and they'll each go and say it was Hashem's will that she should do this. Why pick Nebuchadnezzar's daughter? That if he catches on, they're going to be in big trouble.
Well, my chiddush, Ian, my chiddush was that they, this wasn't the first, this couldn't have been the first time they did this.
Okay.
But this is their scheme, and they must have worked their way up the...
That's possible. This is just, they bit off more than they could chew at this point.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have to have some confidence in this having worked at some point.
Okay, fine. That's a shot.
It would have been considered any Nevi'im if they had done it before.
Okay.
They weren't Nevi'im.
But I mean, they were Nevi'ei Sheker.
They claimed to be Nevi'im.
They were Nevi'ei Sheker. So let's get some background, get some bearing, you know, just get bearings on what's going on over here.
99% of the world.
The Maisa is the psukim that the Gemara brings is in Yirmiyahu Chavtes. In Yirmiyahu Chavtes, this happens. I told you already that Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu were misnabe at the same time. At least the bulk of their nevuos were at the same time. Yechezkel was in Bavel and Yirmiyahu was in Eretz Yisrael. They both had nevuah. The primary nevuahs were between the two galuyos. The galus Yechanya, which is when Nebuchadnezzar took Yechanya HaMelech and Acheresh VaMaska, the leadership of Klal Yisrael, into galus. I mentioned to you last week that included Yechezkel, it included Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, Azariah, and most famously, it includes Mordechai, which we're going to read about in a little over a week, that we have in the Megillah, Asher Haglam Yushlanim Hagolah Asher Haglasayim Yechanya Melech Yehuda. And that's Mordechai. Mordechai went into Galus, we in Galus Yechanya. And Daniel went with him, and Hanan, Mishael, Azariah, and Yechezkel. All of them were at the same time. And they were taken to Galus, and that's where Yechezkel was nisnabe in Bavel. Yirmiyah was one of the few leaders who was not taken. He remained in Eretz Yisrael, and he had Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So Yirmiyah he's the anomaly. He remains there, and he lives through the Churban in Eretz Yisrael. As you know, you probably know that the Megillas Eicha was written by Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah HaNavi wrote Megillas Eicha. He's the one who remains in Eretz Yisrael and witnesses the Churban HaBayis in Eretz Yisrael. Both Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, not coincidentally, are Kohanim. They're both Kohanim. Yechezkel and Yirmiyah at the same time having Nevuah. Yechezkel and Bavel, Yirmiyah in Eretz Yisrael, through the Churban HaBayis, before the Churban HaBayis, and during the Churban HaBayis, and after the Churban HaBayis. And their two Nevuahs are connected.
Was Yirmiyah actually considered a leader?
Yeah, sure. I mean, sure, absolutely.
I mean, like, most of his whole career was spent people not listening to him.
That doesn't mean he wasn't a leader. Yeah. Okay. Now, I mean, that's true for most of the Nevuahs, unfortunately.
I wasn't sure whether he maybe became something after everybody left.
Could be.
Could be.
Now, this Nevuah is a response to Nevi'ei HaSheker. That Hashem has, that Yirmiyah sends a, it says, Ve'elu Devei HaSefer Sheshalach Yirmiyah HaNavi Mi'ushalayim El Yeser Zikni HaGoyla Ve'al HaKonim El Nevim Ve'al Kol HaAm Asher Asher Heglan Vuchanetzah Melech Bavel, not Mirushalayim Bavel, that this is a sefer that Yirmiyah sent to the leadership of Klal Yisrael that was already in Bavel, already in Golis. And then the Vua was, you're in Golis already, you're in Bavel, what you should do is build houses, get married, have children, raise your children, marry them off, they're going to have children, because you're not going anywhere. You're going to be in Bavel for quite a while. It's going to be, and this is the famous Nevuah, I'm going to read it to you. Ki chomar Hashem ki lefi melois lebavel shivim shana efgad eschem. This is where it says, in Yirmiyah, that it's going to be 70 years before you get out. There's two places where it says that, one in Yirmiyah, one in Sefer Daniel, and this is one of them, where Yirmiyah says it's going to be 70 years before you get out. This is the famous Nevuah. So, don't think it's going to be, you're in for a short stay, you're in for the long haul over there. And don't trust the Nevi'ei Sheker. Don't trust those who are telling you that you're going to get out sooner. It's not so. It's not so. You're going to be there for quite a while. There were Nevi'ei Sheker telling Klal Yisrael that this is not a big deal. You're going to come back. It's a short stay. As it says, Ve'atem shimu dvar Hashem, kol ha'gola asher shilachti miyushalayim bavela, listen to the word of Hashem. Kol ha'mar Hashem tzvokos el k'Yisrael, el achav ben koloya vel tzidkiyohu ven ma'aseya, hanibim lachem bishmi shaker, that they're saying a nevuah sheker about to you. Hinani no sabi on Nebuchadnezzar, melech bavel, he come le'inechem. I'm going to put them in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to kill them. V'lukach mehem klola l'chol galus sivida asher bavel, Lamar, Yisimcha Hashem kitzidkiyahu uche'achav asher kala melech bavel ba'ish. They are going to be the examples. What's going to happen is they're going to be killed, and they're going to be killed in a very public way, in a very publicized way, and then a klala is going to be taken from them for all of the galus Yehuda that are in Bavel. In other words, that when one person gets angry at someone else, they're going to say, "Ah, Hashem should get you like you got Achav and he got Tzidkiyah." That's going to be what's going to happen. They're going to become the examples. When you want to curse somebody, you're going to use them as the example. That's what's going to happen. Yan asher asu nevala b'Yisrael, because they did a nevala in Yisrael, v'yinafu es neshe reyehem, and they did niuf. They did, the Marsha says, they were over the Yisrael v'yishish. V'yidabu davar v'shmi sheker, and they said sheker in my name, asher loy tzivisin, that I didn't command them, v'onochi hayadeh v'aidnu mashem, and I know the truth.
See, that proves that they're going to be foreign.
Okay, so here's the question.
Unless you say that the nevuah sheker is a form of niuf.
Oh, okay. So let's assume you're right. They did it before. Whether they did or didn't do it before, clearly the navi is linking the nevuah sheker with niuf. That's clearly what's happening. And the whole issue over here is Yirmiyah is saying to them, don't listen to the nevuah sheker that you're coming back soon. It's not true. You're going to be there for 70 years. Don't believe anybody who tells you differently. Because there were plenty of people telling them differently. It's not so. Yirmiyah had to deal with a lot of Nevi'ei Sheker. It's not so. Rather, you're going to be there for 70 years. And I'm going to prove it to you. Because two of the Rosh HaMedabrim, two of those who are the Nevi'ei Sheker who are saying that you're going to come back soon, Tzidkiyah and Achav, Hashem is going to kill them. And not only is he going to kill them, it's going to be this public thing, it's going to be, they're going to be burnt to a crisp, and people are going to say, when they want to curse somebody, oh, you should be like Achav and Tzidkiyah. Why? Why is this going to happen? Yan asher asu nevala b'Yisrael v'yinaf was neshe reyayem, because they did Eish Esish, v'yidabu davar b'shmi sheker, and they spoke in my name a sheker, a shalot tzivisin, that I didn't tell them to say. And I know the truth. So, which one is it? Is it because of the fact that they did niuf, eshesish, or is it because of the nevuah sheker?
Is that we use them as a curse? Is that the question?
Why are they going to be the examples?
Why are they
going to be the examples? Right. And all the nevuah sheker got punished, but they're the ones who are going to become the examples. Why? The Navi tells you why. The Navi says, because they did niuf, and because they spoke in my name b'sheker. Mm-hmm. It's not coincidental that the way they did niuf is by using a nevuah sheker. Like, they used nevuah sheker to do niuf. That's not coincidental. That's what they were doing. Now, so Dan is suggesting that they did this frequently, and they just worked their way up to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. That's a possibility. Another possibility is that they Davka did this with Nebuchadnezzar's daughter, because if you are connected to the king's daughter, then you are no longer an enemy of the state. Then you are protected. Then you become part of the royal family. If the king's daughter is living with these Nevi'i Sheker, then it gives them status. It gives them clout. And it gives the Jews status and clout, because they're no longer second-class citizens.
Even if it was done, you know, both of them, both have that status?
Okay, so that, why both? I'm not answering why both. That's, you mean just do one of them. Have one, if it wasn't just Taiva, so have one say the Nevuah Sheker, that she should live with the other one. Don't reciprocate.
Right.
So, okay, that's a good point. I don't know the answer to that. The Marsha says that they were being over Ashes Ish. Now, why is it Ashes Ish? This is having Tashmish with a woman. We don't know if she was married or not. Let's assume she was married. So if she was married, there is an Inin of Ashes Ish even with a guy. Because there's Bulas Baal. Even though they don't have Kedushin, but they do have Bulas Baal, there is the concept of a woman who is designated for a man in amongst the Goyim as well. So perhaps that's why it would be Ashes Ish. Or perhaps it's Ashes Ish because they're both trying to live with the same woman. So maybe that's why it is a din of Ashes Ish. I'm not sure. I don't know where the Ashes Ish is. It doesn't tell us any other, we don't know any other information to know where the Ashes Ish is coming from. Or maybe, like Dan is saying, because they've done it before. And that's their method. Now, as I mentioned, Yirmiyah had to deal with this a lot. A lot of Nevi'i Sheker. That was the issues that he had. The Gemara tells us that they had to choose one person to go with them. So they chose Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. Now, we're all familiar with Yehoshua Kohen Gadol because the story of Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is told in the Haftarah for, for Shabbos Chanukah. For Shabbos Chanukah. In Zechariah, in Neris the Zechariah Rani v'Simchi, we also have in Parshas Baal Lo'ischa, it's also the same Haftarah. So the Zechariah is shown a Nevuah, and Zechariah also, his Nevuah was later than Yirmiyah's Nevuah. His Nevuah was during Galus Bavel. He started his Nevuah, it says here, B'chadesh, the second year of Daryavesh. So Zechariah's Nevuah, he's at the very end of the Shivim Shana. So his Nevuah, he says, V'yareini es Yehoshua ha-Kohen ha-Gadol. He showed me, meaning the Malach showed me Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, Omed lifnei Malach Hashem, standing before the Malach of Hashem, v'asatan omed al yamino l'sitnai. The Satan is standing there to be mekatre, to prosecute. V'yamar Hashem al ha-Satan, yigar Hashem b'cha ha-Satan, yigar Hashem b'cha ha-Bochem b'Yishlan, halay ze ud mutzal me'esh, that Hashem screams at you, yells at you, the Satan, this Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, you can't hurt him, he's an ud mutzal me'esh, he's a an ud is a coal, right? That was saved from the fire, referring to this mice in the Gemara. Via Yeshua yalavush begadim tsayim, like our Gemara quotes, Yeshua was wearing soiled clothing. Va'omed lifnei amalach. Vayan vayomer la'oyim lefanav leimor hasira begadim tsayim me'olav. Take them off of him. I took off those soiled clothing. And I, Zechariah, said, Yasimu tzanif tahor al rosho, he should put a pure tzanif on his head, a pure hat on his head. Vayasimu tzanif tahor al rosho, vayabishu begadim, umalach Hashem omeid. So, Zechariah sees this Nevuah with Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, that he's wearing these, that the Satan is trying to get him, but the Satan can't get him, and he's wearing these soiled clothing, and they remove the soiled clothing. This is all Aramaic over here. That the Sultan tried to get him, having him thrown into the fire, but he's saved from the fire, but his clothes are soiled, and then his clothes get changed. I'm just reading a little further. And then the Malach, Vayad Malach Hashem Yehoshua Lemar, the Malach warns Yehoshua saying, Koma Hashem Tzvakos, Im Bidrachai Telech, Vimes Mishmarti Sishmar, V'gam Ata Todines Beisi, V'gam Tishmar Es Chatzeroi, You'll do everything that you're supposed to do. And I'll give you malachim. You'll be able to walk amongst these omdim. The omdim are the malachim. They always stand. They never sit. You'll be able to walk amongst these malachim. Shmana Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Ata v'reiecha yoshvim lefanecha. You and your friends that are sitting in front of you. Who are your friends? Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, all of whom got out of the fire. They did this incredible miracle. I'm going to bring my servant Tzemach. I'm going to sprout my servant. Who is that referring to? That's referring to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is also known as... How do we know Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel is Nehemiah. As in Ezra Nehemiah. Nehemiah is Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is a descendant of David HaMelech. He would have been the king if there would have been kings in Bayesheni, but there were no kings in Bayesheni. But he was the heir to the throne, Zerubbabel. And
for some reason he was not qualified to be king.
Yeah, maybe we didn't have kings.
No. I meant like that there was some problem in his lineage or something like that.
I don't remember. Maybe you're right, but I don't believe so. But at any rate, he's a descendant of David HaMelech, and he, along with Ezra, lead Klal Yisrael out of Golos at the end of the 70 years. So the Nevuah here is being said to Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol. This is Zechariah seeing this. He's seeing the Malach talking to Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol, and to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that now that now I'm going to make my Eved sprout, which means the one who's going to be essentially the Mashiach, not the Melech HaMashiach we're waiting for, but of that time, meaning that Zerubbabel is going to take them out of Golos.
Can you just review the timeline again? Because this Achav and Zechariah has to happen during the time of Nebuchadnezzar.
That's before the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed.
That's between the
two Goloses.
And then
this happens at the end of the 70
years. The daughters of Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, I mean, the sons had their issue before that.
Right.
But then Zechariah is prophesying 70 or 60 something, whatever years later.
Right. Right. He's seen this much later.
Okay, fine.
Okay, now. So good. We're going to get this timeline straight. Now, the Pasuk tells us in Ezra, when they came up from Bavel, at the end of Ezra Perek Yud, it says that that all of Klal Yisrael were gathered in front of him. He was doing tshuva. Because they were having trouble building the Beis HaMikdash. So he was doing tshuva. And then it says, "Vayan Shechaniah ben Yechiel mivnei Elam vayomer leEzra, anachnu ma'alnu beElokenu. We have done sins. Vanoshev nashim nachrios me'amei haaretz, and we married women who are nachrios. Ve'ata yesh mikvah leYisrael alzos. Is there a mikvah for us? Can we purify ourselves?" So the psukim go on over here that they all agree to divorce their nashim nachrios. The women they're not supposed to be married to, they're all going to separate from their us or wives, and then things will be okay. And then they go, they say, well, we don't know who's married to us or wives, and they appoint a person to go through and figure out who needs to separate from their wives.
Yeah, right,
I don't know. And then it says, Vayimatzei mibnei ha-kohanim asher hoshivu noshim nachrios. There were some kohanim, not just the non-kohanim, but even the kohanim who had married women they weren't supposed to marry. Mibnei, who? From the children of Yeshua ben Yotzadok ve'Echav. That's Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. That his children were married to women they weren't supposed to be married to. Now, it's important to note that Ezra says Nachrios. Nachrios means foreigners. It's very tempting to say it means non-Jews. But we know from here in Sanhedrin, and also from other sources of Chazal, that it does not mean they were married to non-Jews. It means they were married to women that a Kohen is not supposed to be married to. That's there. They were married to women they weren't supposed to marry. And
but there were a bunch of people who were married to non-Jews.
It's not clear.
It says
Nachrios. It says Nachrios. It could be just women they weren't supposed to marry. It's not clear who they were. Maybe it was not Jews.
I mean, who?
It's not clear.
But these are the non-Kohanim that it starts off with.
Okay. Now.
I mean, you got like sister
we,
and
it's all speculative.
Non-Jews.
No, not sisters.
Huh? There's only a limited
that's
number
not true.
Of people.
That's not true. What about a mamzer?
Huh?
What about a mamzer?
Okay.
So there's the people you can't marry.
Okay.
Now, so what happens? They all separate. There were masses of couples separating who weren't supposed to be married. And through that, then they're able to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. So here also you see that the inyan of living with someone you're not supposed to live with is crucial to it impedes the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and their separating is what allows the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is thrown into the fire with Achav and Tzidkiah, who were people who were involved in Niyuf. They weren't just married to people they weren't supposed to be married to. They were doing Mamash Yisurim. There's a difference between doing a lav, married to a woman you're not supposed to marry, which is just a lav, and doing Eshes Ish, which is Misa. It's much worse. They were much worse, and they were thrown into the fire. They, coincidentally, but of course it's not coincidental, Zumina Shamayim, they chose Yehoshua and Kohen Gadol to be thrown in with them because Yehoshua had a blemish on his record of that nature, the same nature. Even though it wasn't him, it was his children. But it's because he didn't protest. He wasn't Meicha. So he gets thrown in with them. So he survives because he's a tremendous tzaddik, but his clothes come out singed. In Sefer Ezra, many years later, his sons separate from the women they're not supposed to be married to, and that is part of the group that separates, which allows the second Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. The second Beis HaMikdash to be built. The Navi, Zechariah in his Nevuah, he sees this whole thing, but he sees the beginning of the 7 years and the end of the 70 years. He sees Yehoshua being thrown into the fire, and then he sees the whole issue with the women, and then he sees that Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is dressed in nice clothing because his sons do in fact separate, and that causes his clothing to be changed into finery, to good clothing.
You said it took the 70 years for them to separate, or is that just?
Apparently, it was a machla throughout the Golos. Throughout the 7 years of Golos, there were people who were marrying people they weren't supposed to.
It might have been all 7 years. It has to be sometime in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar.
But I mean, if they would have done it earlier, maybe it would.
The Mashmo says it was during the time between the two Galuyos. That's what it's Mashmo.
Right, I'm saying, but it could have been 35 years.
It's Mashmo. There was only 11 years between Gal Sichani and Gal Tzidkiyahu. It's Mashmo was before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
Okay.
During that time. That's what's Mashmo from the Psukim.
Yehoshua is dead at this point?
So is Yehoshua alive at the end of the 7 years? He's not the Kohen Gadol. So when they come up from Bavel, he's not the Kohen Gadol. Who's the Kohen Gadol? I imagine Ezra is. So he could have lived a long time, but I don't believe he was. I don't believe he's Kohen Gadol. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah also were no longer alive, according to most opinions. So, like we learned in the last Gemara, the Gemara says, what happened to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? So they were killed. Either they drowned in the Reich, or the Ayin Hara killed them, and we saw them before. One shot is they went up to Eretz Yisrael and they married and they had children. But here, Zechariah is seeing Yehoshua and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, those who were thrown into the fire and survived, and he's seeing the correction of the one flaw that Yehoshua Kohen Gadol had, which is that his children were married to people they weren't supposed to be married to, and then they switched.
But there's something that the timeline, there's something missing. How could Yirmiyahu have the Nevuah of Yeshua Kohen Gadol, but which happened during Daniel by Nebuchadnezzar?
That's when Yirmiyahu lived.
Right. So the actual case that when the children actually split, it was already.
That was much later.
Later.
Right. So that's when Zechariah has the Nevuah much later. He has it at the end of the 7 years.
But Yirmiyahu
doesn't see them getting rid of their Usher wives.
Right, but I'm saying that Yehoshua was still together while the Beis HaMikdash was still there, right?
The Maisa of Hanani of Achav and Sidkiah seems to have happened during the 11 years between Galus Echanya and the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash.
Right.
After that, it was 70 years until the second Beis Hamikdash was built.
Okay, great. So,
right?
Okay.
The Nevuah of Yirmiyah is certainly during those 11 years, which is prior to the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. Smashma, that's when this Maisa happens. And it's at that time that his clothes are singed.
Together with the two Rishayim. The...
They're killed.
Right.
70 years later, Zechariah has Nevuah, seeing that the clothes are changed into good clothing.
Oh, this is Zechariah.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Zechariah Navi has Nevuah at the end of the 70 years.
Okay.
So again, we are seeing that you have this connection between, as we mentioned before, the Nevuah Sheker and Niuf, Eishes Ish, that Avera. And then we also have the at the end of the Korban, at the end of this of the Shivim Shana, there is a push to correct this problem of who they're married to. Ezra, we know, the Mishnah in Kedushin says, in the fourth paragraph, Mishnah says, Asar Yuchsin, that Ezra was responsible to correct all of the lineage problems that Klal Yisrael had. That he divided up, there was a mixture, there was a mishmash of people marrying who they weren't supposed to marry, and Ezra set it up into 10 separate categories. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Gerim, Avadim, all and on, you know, down the line. Mamzerim, and everybody was separated into categories that they needed to be separated into. There was too much mixture, and people were not being faithful to what they had to the kedusha they had to keep. So, let's go back to understanding what is a Kivshan Eish all about, and then we'll tie all the pieces together. The world, when it was first created, after the Maisa of Adam and Chava, so you have Asara Doros from Adam until Noach. And during that time, there's terrible Averis going on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys the world. How does he destroy the world? With a Mabel. He destroys the world with water, with a Mabel. Now, when he destroys the world with a Mabel, what are the Averis that this is because of? Why is there a Mabel? So, Rashi tells us, and the Pasuk says it, the Rashi emphasizes it. The Pasuk says, so Rashi says, "Vatishaches lashon erva." Right, it's erva. As it says, "Kihishkes chabasas darka laaretz," and also avodah zara because it is pentash chisun.
It's also gezeilah, right?
What?
Also
that, that's chamas, right? Kishkis chabasar, right? Okay. Now, then, so they were doing two things. Then it says, "Kates chabasar balafanai, kamakam shatamaitis nus mavarazara, ander al musya ba'ala olam." Then a mass destruction comes to the world. For hareges toivim viroyim. Then good and bad people get killed. There's no distinction anymore. Everybody gets wiped out. What's that? Okay. Now, we know that after the Mabel was over, the Mabel was wiped out, and we know that even the animals were going to minim that are not their own. Afilu, right? It says, Kihishis kol basar es darkala aretz. Rashi says, Afilu behema chayav oif, nizkakim l'sheinan minon. They were going to the wrong min. Right? You hear the parallel over here. They were going off to minim where they weren't supposed to go to. Just as people are supposed to keep a certain kedusha, that there's a certain, that not every man can marry every woman. Everybody has certain people that are designated for them and not others. And there are parameters and you can't cross them. Animals do too. And when the people started crossing their lines, the animals crossed their lines as well. So the world was wiped out with the Mabel. Now, after the Mabel, we know that the world was very careful in what area? In what type of Avera? They were very careful with Arayas after the Mabel. The Pasuk tells us that it wasn't until the time of Bilam that Bilam was Pirates Gidro Shel Olam. Bilam, he was Pirates Gather, because he advised the Benais Midian to have Znus with Klal Yisrael. Until Bilam's time, they didn't do that. They were careful with Arias. And the Rashi, when he brings from Chazal, why did Hashem give Nevuah to Bilam, to Umas Olam? So he says the reason why he gave him the Nevuah was because that way, if the guy will say, well, of course Klal Yisrael was good, you gave them the Nevi'im. You didn't give us any Nevi'im. So Hashem can say, I did give you a Navi, and not only did he not help you, he actually destroyed the world. So let me just read you that Rashi. Rashi says, yeah. Vim Taimar. Mipei ma hishrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu shechinas al Ovid kechavim, Rasha. So he answers, kidei shelo yehi pischaim pe al Ovid kechavim, loimar, ilu hayu lanu neviim, chazarnu lemutav. He made lahem neviim, he gave them neviim, vehim pirtzu gedor olam. She betchila hayu gedurim ba'arayis, because until then, they were careful with arayis, vizeh nasa lam eitza lahafkir atzim lizmus. And now he gave them znus. You can ask the obvious question. Go ahead.
Let's see. The Tzrayim Shtep is a Mazim still wanted to take them out take them lost out of his znus.
Okay.
Avram told of Avimelech was punished anyway because he was going to.
Right. Okay. So Sdoim is a better question than the other two. The Faker, Mitzrayim and Avimelech are a riot to this. Because Avram says to Sarah, Imri na achayisiyat, say you're my sister. Why? Why say you're my sister? But what? Yeah, but I understand. Wait a minute. But you say you're my sister. Why say you're my sister?
I understand.
Because if you don't say you're my sister, what's
going to
happen?
They're going to kill me.
Why do they have to kill him?
Granted, but it still says they're Shtepezima.
No, but they were still careful. They weren't over Ashes Ish. Not the Farhesia.
But it was not a
public thing. Yeah, no, that's what Bilam said it before Hesia. No, that was the difference. Bilam said, go and do this before Hesia.
What difference does before Hesia make? They're still doing it there.
Oh, because you're right, but it's much more of an Indian if you do before Hesia. In other words, if it wasn't for Bilam, there would be no public industry like that today. Today there's a public industry. It's public. It's all over the place. Today. It's not just a private matter. If it wasn't for Bilam, then today it wouldn't be like that. Bilam is the one who tore down that wall.
So you think they were careful with public arrivals?
Right.
After that.
That was the difference. So with Stoim, it's a good question. So with Stoim, apparently although I'm not sure when it comes to, when we talk about
see what happened to him.
Yeah, obviously. But when you talk about Mishkav Zachar, I'm not sure over there what the Indian was. Like I told you last week, Nebuchadnezzar, that was his way of showing control over the kings who he caught. When he conquered a king, then he would have Mishkav Zachar with that king to show that he controls that king. I'm not sure in Sudan whether it was Taiva or whether it was to show that the guests are going to be, they're going to be used because we don't take guests. It was a way of getting rid of the guests. It wasn't a way of...
Specifically refused the daughter.
Right. It wasn't a question of taiva. It was a question of
so
we don't take guests.
The term besodomai should mean to refuse that guest.
So the mabul was a way of destroying the world that had all of this nus. And now the world kept away from Znus, and then Bilam brought it back. What about Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah, the world was not careful with. They did do Avodah Zarah. A lot of Avodah Zarah. That, the Mabul, didn't stop. The world, even the Goyim, were careful with Znus until Bilam, but Avodah Zarah was rampant. That didn't get stopped. So Nimrod becomes the king. And Nimrod is a major Avodah Zarah person. And Nimrod is the one who leads the Migdal Bavel. He's the king for Migdal Bavel, which is the second major upheaval of the world after the Mabul. And he then he's the one who makes a rule that anybody who breaks idols, whatever, gets thrown into the Kivshan HaEsh. Avraham Avinu stands up to Nimrod and gets thrown into the Kivshan HaEsh. Fire is associated with Avodah Zarah. Water is associated with Znus. Fire is associated with Avodah Zarah. When you find Averis that are rooted in Taiva and Znus, you find that the punishment is connected to water. When you find Averis that are associated with philosophical Averis and Avodah Zarah, then you find that the punishment is connected to fire or mortar, that sort of thing. The Migdal Bavel, what happened to the Migdal Bavel? Migdal Bavel was not a Taiva Avera. It was an ideological Avera. It was, we're going to fight with Hashem. What happened to the Migdal Bavel? The Pasuk just says they stopped building it. What happened to it? The Gemara says a third of it sunk into the ground, a third of it was burned up in fire, and a third of it is still there. That's what the Gemara says. So what do you mean it's still there? Because it was still there. It didn't get totally destroyed. It didn't stop the Goyim from Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah still remained. Unlike the Mabul, which wiped away the Avera of Znus until Bilam came and destroyed it. That get there.
Some of the Yamsuf was punishing them for rebelling against Hashem.
Primarily that's because, that I understand is because of Shtufei Zima.
Of now,
that's because the Mitzvah, that's some worse to Vezima. Right?
But you just said that the whole definition was
before. Yeah.
Saying they weren't.
Yeah, but it wasn't on the level of what it was before. I think it was a private level.
Wouldn't you say the main issue is that
when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're jumping ahead. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a Shvuah that he's not going to bring a Mabul, what does that mean? He's going to make a Shvuah, he's not going to bring a Mabul? I don't understand. If the world deserves a Mabul, how can he make a Shvuah not to bring a Mabul? What does it mean he's going to make a shvua not to bring a mabul? If the world deserves it, he has to bring it. Do they deserve it or not? So he's going to tie his hands behind his back, he's not going to bring a mabul? So you'll say, well, he could destroy the world in other ways. So then it's a joke that he doesn't bring a mabul. Who cares if he doesn't bring a mabul? So then what is it? So it's meaningless. So I'll bring other ways of destroying the world. What is meant by the fact that he takes a shvua not to destroy the world with a mabul? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that which they did that brought the mabul, man will no longer do that on that scale. That can't happen anymore. Hashem is not going to give man the opportunity to deserve a mabul.
So you're saying, we would redefine it and say there wasn't like widespread public acceptance of Elias
right.
after the mabul that it was before, although there were pockets
of course, yeah,
there.
Right. It was more private, it was like kind of thing.
But primarily what they were being punished for was that they weren't letting Bnei Yisrael go, that they were rebelling, the power was refusing Hashem, which sounds like Avodah Zarah.
Okay, now, Avodah Zarah and Arias are linked together, obviously. You can't separate the two things. If the Gemara says that Lo Yavdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah, Elok Lehati Lam Arias. Right? They're all connected. You can't, every Avera is connected to other Averas. It's not one thing in a vacuum.
There's a pillar of fire there that could have taken them out.
Yeah, a fire could have burned them down. It could have. they're always going to be linked together. That's obvious. Right? You're never going to find one thing without, you're always going to find both things. When you have the mice over here of Achav and Tzidkiah, so they are involved in Arias. But what is their real Avera? They're Nevi'ei Sheker. Just like there were a lot of Nevi'ei Sheker. Now they were worse because they also were involved in Arias. But what was their purpose in Arias? It seems to me that this was not a question of Taiva. That's what it seems to me, that this was really a question of proving that their Nevuah is correct. It was a way of making a self-fulfilling prophecy. That if they're going to make a nevuah, that Klal Yisrael is going to be okay, that the base of English is not going to be destroyed, that those who were taken in the bubble are going to come back, they have to make it come true. How do you make it come true? By getting the king's daughter to live with you. And now, you become connected to the king. It's a way of making their Nevuah Sheker come true. They become the example of what happens to Nevi'ei Sheker. But it's primarily not a Taiva Avera, even though they were involved in Eishes Ish. I'm not saying the Eishes Ish didn't happen. But the motivation wasn't Taiva. The motivation was ideological. It was Nevi'ei Sheker.
They didn't necessarily do the action because they were referred to, her father, before.
Well, like Dan is saying, it could be they did it before. Could be that they were involved in this before. But even if they did it before, it seems to me that their goal was to get to Nebuchadnezzar's daughter. Right. So it could be they were perfecting their method. But their goal was to get to Nebuchadnezzar's daughter. That was the whole idea. Otherwise, you're crazy for doing it.
Yes, I mean, it wasn't necessarily because it was a Nebuchadnezzar's daughter.
No, what?
But it was from, that was most probably.
It was a power thing, not a...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was a power thing. When the people are married in Golos to women they're not supposed to marry to, again, I don't understand that to mean a taiva issue. Not that, of course, there was taiva, but that the motivation wasn't a motivation of taiva. It was a sense of not knowing their kedusha, of not knowing where they belong. They weren't being over Eishes Ish, but they were married to women that weren't appropriate for them. They were not being selective in who they would be willing to marry. Remember, back then, marriage was not falling in love. The relationship between a man and a woman wasn't the same kind of relationship like it is today. They were married. We're not talking about znus. We're talking about marriage. That's what they were doing then, was marriage. But they weren't being selective of, okay, I'm in this category, and therefore I have to marry someone within my range, not more Kedusha, not less Kedusha, within my range. And they were not. They were all mixed up. Ezra had to weed them out. And it says he had to weed out the 10 different branches of Kali Yisrael, depending on the Kedusha level. Before the second Beis HaMikdash can be built, that has to be taken care of. And Yehoshua's sons are the example. Yehoshua himself, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, that Zechariah sees that he becomes wearing good clothing, that's the example of the people separating from those they're not supposed to be married to. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah being saved from the Kibshon HaEish, and then Yehoshua being saved from the Kibshon HaEish, are, again, like Avraham Avinu, are representative of the fact that they were, that their deus were appropriate. That the way that that they were completely separated from Avodah Zarah, they were completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
They even said it. They said that even if we do get thrown into the nation...
Yeah, that's what the Hanan Mishael Azariah said. Yeah. They said, we don't care. You can't... Right. It was because they didn't bow down to an idol. They got thrown into the Kibshon HaEish. They are very clearly connected to Avraham Avinu. They're both having to do with Avodah Zarah. It seems to me, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is the same thing. That it's still, even though it's clearly tied in with Znus, but the motivation of the Znus was not Taiva, but rather it was ideological. And that's why it's a Kibshon HaEish that's involved over here, rather than another type of punishment. This Indian of fire versus water, we don't have time tonight to go through the whole thing, but I've traced it through the Chumash. I can't tell you that it's 100%. I was asking questions on it, but I think I can make a strong case that is typically the way it works. I don't know if there'll be exceptions, but then, yeah.
I would say Sodom is another issue. That's not straight for far. Something that's also been punished for snow.
Well, Sodom, you're right, is definitely Taiva. That's definitely Taiva.
It's straight.
Well, it's Mapechas Sodom Va'amora. Gafris Va'ish, yeah, you're right. Over there, it's Gafris Va'ish Min HaShamayim. What does it say over there? Yeah, that's what it says in its sub, and when it's referring back to it says that, right. But you're right anyway. You're still right because it says Sodom, Vashem himtir al Sodom v'amora gafir svaish. Right, Meis Hashem min
Hashamayim. Or the other case where it
does work out.
What's that?
Or the other case where it does work out.
Yeah, they go through with.
There's a connection there. It's raining. And,
yeah. Yeah, no, but this is clearly fire. That's clearly what this is.
No. Why would that be Taiva? Because
that's
their main thing was like power. I mean, even when, even, you know, the other things that they did, tying the girl to the tree and stuff like that, it was, was on the tree? With the bees. Anyways, it was like, you know, it was all like, it wasn't about...
That's
like,
the question, was it...
You know, it wasn't about Zenu, it was about...
Power. See, the issue is it decadence or is it power? That's the two, those are the two things. I don't know, it could be, you're right. I don't know if Sodom was decadent. I mean, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? Where's the Gemara? Where Eliezer Evan Avram goes to Sodom, right?
I know the Gemara.
So they have rules in Sodom. They have laws. It's just he made a mockery of it by turning it against them.
Yeah.
So the I think it is in Sanhedrin.
I think it is too.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. They certainly were selfish. They didn't want guests, and they all. But I don't know if it was motivated by decadence or if it was motivated by power, like Bobby is saying. So I'm not sure that if it's motivated by power, then it would fit into this paradigm. If not, then it won't. Right.
So the case of the Sheker in our Gemara, that would probably be of power.
That's what I'm suggesting. Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. That's the point I'm trying to make. Right. That's the point I'm trying to make. Which is why I'm saying that's why you have this whole thing revolving around the Kibshon Ha'esh. Mitzvah Hashem. Now next week there will not be shir. Next week is Tainus Esther on Thursday, so we will not be having shir on Thursday. So in 2 weeks from now, Mitzvah Hashem, where we plan, we will have shir. We'll do Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, the six descendants of David HaMelech. That have these six brachas. We'll start with that in on our base.